Welcome to Moneyline. This is Matt McCullough. Thanks for joining me here today. It is Tuesday, December 15th, 10 days to the big day. But we got a huge show in front of you. The hottest investment in Wall Street in the last week and a half has been a new fund. I had the CIO of that fund on here live today, a good friend of mine. And yes, it has to do with cryptocurrencies. Also, we're talking SPACs, three new SPACs just today. And you asked for, I'm giving to you, how to handle a pullback. All coming up right now on Money.
The buck starts here. Moneyline with Matt McCall.
And as I've been talking about, folks, finally, he is here in the flesh. Matt Hogan, CIO of Bitwise. I mean, he is a CIO of the hottest product on Wall Street that I've seen in a long time. The Bitwise, and I might be butchering name, the 10 crypto index fund, symbol BITW. Matt, tell me, I mean, congratulations, number one. I mean, what a reception you're getting from Wall Street. How are you feeling about everything?
Thanks, Matt. We're feeling great and cautious at the same time. We were really excited to bring BITW to market. It's the first publicly traded crypto index fund. You and I know index funds have a place in the financial ecosystem, in equities, in bonds, in commodities, and we think in crypto. And we're really excited that the market has embraced it, that it's trading so liquid. Of course, the flip side to that is right now it is trading to a significant premium. We want people to understand that premium, but it is exciting that the market has a crypto index fund that's available to them and that they're embracing it, like you said.
So let's talk a little bit about that, because you know, I put out on Twitter that you're going to be on. A lot of people were asking questions, and First thing people say, oh, there's finally an ETF, and it's not an ETF. Can you explain in layman's terms out to everybody how this did get passed and how it is not similar to like the Winklevoss or trying to get an ETF through?
That's true, Matt. And I'm trying to get an ETF through. Yeah. I've spent a lot of time with the SEC. We continue to work on that. Look, until an ETF goes through, the way that crypto funds are coming to market, and this is our fund, as well as the great products from Grayscale like GBTC and ETHE, is through something called the Rule 144 exemption. Now, it's not important to know what that means, but what is important is to know it's not an ETF. The difference is, well, you can create new shares of an ETF every day. For these products, when you create new shares, you have to wait a year or 6 months until they can be sold into the market. And what that means is that the product can trade more like a closed-end fund. It can trade to premiums, it could trade to discounts. And that's what you're seeing in the market right now. So important to understand that. At the same time, also important to understand the value of an index product, the value of diversification in the crypto market. So investors should know both sides. But thanks for asking.
Yeah, that's just something that a lot of people have been asking. And you explained it much better than I did. So right now, there's what? There's 10 constituents in there. So basically Bitcoin and then altcoins. Bitcoin looks like it makes up about 3/4, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
How do you choose the other 9 that go in that portfolio?
Sure. So it's a market cap weighted index like the S&P 500. Now we have some serious rules. We have a 25-page methodology that screens out assets that have regulatory, custody, or liquidity risk. But beyond that, it's a market cap weighted index. And here's why, Matt. There's two reasons. One, crypto is early. I study this 24/7, 365. I don't know exactly how it's going to play out. So I just want to bet the market instead of trying to pick one asset and picking the wrong horse, right? I don't want to get stuck in the MySpace of crypto. But the other thing, the thing that gets me really excited is crypto is more than just one story, right? Bitcoin is perfect to serve as digital gold. It's very secure. It's very safe. It's very decentralized. But Ethereum can do things that Bitcoin can't do. You can program Ethereum. It's trying to, you know, disintermediate the banks. It's trying to decentralize finance. It's trying to make Wall Street better. And XRP, the third largest asset, does things that Ethereum and Bitcoin don't do. It's significantly faster. It's as fast as Visa. Now, all the assets are like this. And the beauty of an index product is you're making a big bet. Look, crypto is more than digital gold. It's the ability for money to exist natively on the internet. That's going to disrupt finance just as surely as Amazon disrupted Sears. And so an index strategy gives you exposure to the whole gamut instead of just picking one asset with one application. And that's why I think there's value in an index-based approach.
Well, then, so for all my listeners, you're ringing something that they're hearing, because I always talk about taking a basket approach. You know, you can't put all your eggs in one basket. You know, electric vehicles. I think future transportation is going to be amazing. Autonomous vehicles, electric vehicles. Do I know which car maker is going to do it? No. Do I know which software maker? No, not chip maker. So let's build a basket. And it's exactly what you're doing here with the indexing. The other thing is, you know, when it comes to these altcoins, you make a great point how they all are very different. You know, I kind of view them, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you view it the same way, Matt, is, you know, one of the best investments over the last 30 or so years has been software, because, you know, software runs everything. To me, a lot of these altcoins are truly the software of the next decade or so, because you're going to see that really upend. So by investing in some of these altcoins, you're really investing in some of the great trends that are coming on line right now and for the next couple of years.
That's 100% right. That's exactly how I think of it, Matt. They're software. You can think of them like software companies. And just like back up 20 years, you didn't want to just invest in Microsoft. You wanted to invest in Microsoft and Salesforce and the other great companies building in that space. That's the same idea here. They're all different. They're all optimized in different ways. Their code is good for different things if you want to get technical. But what you want to do, as you said, own the basket, just like the EV space. I'm bullish on that space too, but I'd rather own a basket of stocks than try to pick any one winner.
I love it. So how often are you rebalancing this?
Yeah, great question. We rebalance monthly, which, as you know, as an expert in indexing, is more frequent than you see in the equity space, right? Often that's quarterly or annually, but crypto moves fast. You know, a month in crypto is like a year in the rest of the world. So we rebalance monthly to get new assets in if they're emerging and to kick assets out if the market is souring on them.
And at that point, do you have like number 11 or number 12 trying to get into this basket? Do you have certain ones that if they meet criteria the next time you rebalance that will come in?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we look at these continuously. You know, as an index, we have an index firm as well. So we have a mid-cap index. We have a small-cap index. Those indexes don't have funds associated with them. You can't invest in them. They're just for research purposes. But if you want to think about there being a bench of assets that's looking to move in, that's absolutely true. An example of an asset, Matt, that came into the index earlier this year was Chainlink, which is the best performing asset in the world. Now, that doesn't always happen. We can add an asset and then it can have bad performance. It's a rules-based strategy. And the whole idea is just to own the market and screen out, you know, obvious risk like liquidity and custody and regulatory risk where we can.
Okay. I'm glad you brought up Chainlink, because that's one of our big winners this year for our subscribers. We put it in January when we launched our crypto product. So we have done really well with Chainlink, and I love it long term. I think there's a lot of future. And that's one of the ones, if you read Twitter at all, half Twitter hates it and the other half loves it. There's been a lot of people kind of putting down Chainlink, but you know, I personally love it. So where do you see, do you have any other products lined up? I know you talked about an ETF, but could some of these smaller cap ones, could you bring these to market through the similar way you brought BITW?
Yeah, I think that's right. So right now we have a Bitcoin fund, standalone Bitcoin fund, that's a private placement. We have an Ethereum fund that's a private placement. We're considering bringing those to market. We're looking at other ideas, Matt. Look, I think crypto is a decade or two or three decade long trend. So could, you know, would we look at a DeFi index? Will we look at things like that? Of course we will look at that. At the same time, we're still pushing for an ETF, right? Because that would be a product that would get over this hump of premiums and discounts, which is just an important extra wrinkle people have to consider. So Bitwise exists to help investors get good access to the crypto market. And we're going to try to do that, whether that's in this OTCQX traded wrappers that come with premiums and discounts or ETFs. But we're in it to build a franchise in this space.
So this is the kind of baby step on the way to where you want to go. I mean, it's almost as if we're not even in the first inning. You're just up. You're warming up. You're about to get into the batter's box here. You know, when you get into batter's box, that's when the ETF launches. But you're kind of getting up there. So real quick, just so people know, this is available at Schwab, TD Ameritrade, E-Trade. Anybody can go out there right now in their IRA or in their brokerage account and buy shares, if I'm not mistaken.
That's exactly right. I would just, again, I've said this a bunch. You can go to bitwiseinvestments.com. Right at the top, we post the NAV price and the market price, an estimated NAV and the market price, so you can evaluate the premium. But you can buy it in your Schwab account. You can buy it in your Fidelity account just using the ticker BITW. Or you can talk to a financial advisor or other investment professional. But do your homework. Do your due diligence. consider it. And then if it makes sense for you, you can make an allocation.
And just so everybody at home watching is, NAV literally refers to as net asset value. That is the true value of the assets in that fund. And then the market price is what it's trading at now, which right now is trading a little bit higher. So it's going to be trading at a premium to what the actual value is. And you mentioned closed-end funds earlier. Sometimes closed-end funds actually trade at discounts. They'll fall below that level. The cryptos tend to always trade a premium because there's a high demand for the crypto products right now. And, you know, I'm not a fan of things trading at premiums, Matt, but that being said, there's a reason for it because there's demand. It's simple economics at the end of the day. It's supply and demand. There's demand for this, and I don't think tomorrow demand goes away because people, I hate to say this, are too darn lazy to go open a Coinbase account and do it. They'd rather just go to their Schwab account and buy it and get in. So I think there's a place for this. But speaking of ETFs, do you think in 2021 we'll finally see a crypto ETF?
Oh, that's a great question. That's the million-dollar question, Matt. I think we'll see progress. Look, the market has developed a lot, right? You remember crypto 3 or 4 years ago. This was not an institutional market. It was not a tight market. There wasn't good arbitrage. Custody was still an issue. Today, we're talking about an institutional market. And you know that because you see things like Mass Mutual, a company formed in like the 1850s, putting $100 million of Bitcoin in their general fund. So I think we're getting closer. Will we see it in 2021 or 2022? I think so. I don't know which of those years it will be, but it is. I think it is coming. I think we're getting closer. I think you'll see action around it in the first quarter or second quarter of next year with people lining up to follow.
Well, we don't want to get too into the weeds with this, but what is the big hangup? And I know you don't want to say anything bad about the SEC, but what is the hangup that's really keeping them away from this? Is it the fact they don't understand it? Is there a custody issue? They think it's too volatile for the average investor? I just don't get it. Like, why not make it available and let us as adults make the decision if we want to invest in it?
I love the way you think about it, Matt. You know, if you talk to the SEC backward 3 years, to people who have been working on an ETF since 2013, right? It's been a while. There used to be a lot of issues. There used to be custody issues. There used to be audit issues. There used to be reporting issues. Mostly those have been solved, right? You can custody Bitcoin with Fidelity now. There's not as much concern. The last concern is stocks trade on national securities exchanges, which are regulated and you can surveil them for market manipulation. Bitcoin trades on largely unregulated or differently regulated markets. And so it's just an extra amount of caution. Look, there's this concept that it takes further to convince someone if they start way over here, right? If they start with big concerns, you have to not just get them to 50%, you have to get them to 70, 80 or 90% confidence. And that's where we're going. But it's going to happen, right? Eventually, buying crypto is going to be as easy for most investors as buying Apple. We're just not there yet, but that gives users like your listeners, your viewers, a chance to get in ahead of people who are waiting until it's push button easy.
You make a great point there. You know, a lot of times, you know, us as human beings, I don't think we're wired to be good investors, which is why index funds are great for people because it takes the mental, emotional thoughts out of it. Because for some reason, we tend to follow and feel more comfortable following a group of people versus going off by yourself. Well, when you're buying into cryptos a couple of years ago, even still now, you know, you may go to your family gathering over holidays and tell, you know, your uncle you're in cryptos and he'll say, you're crazy. You know, what are you buying cryptos for? But in reality, that's a good thing. Because when your uncle starts telling you to buy it, that's probably too late. So I think, man, you are in, again, and just to give a little bit of background on Matt, I've known you for probably over 10 years. I met you over 10 years ago. He was one of the first guys in the ETF world. I mean, he was one of the first there before ETFs were anywhere in the mainstream. Now he's one of the first guys in Bitcoin. So you want to follow winners, and you're a winner, Matt. You know, you were in at ETFs, ETFs.com was back in the day, right?
That's right.
I think it was. And then now this, I will tell you real quick, I do remember some reason, you know, my memory's terrible. I'm shot. I've traveled the world. But I remember one night, it was at an ETF conference in Amsterdam. We had dinner at an Indonesian restaurant. Yes. You probably don't remember, but I remember being there. And yeah, again, I couldn't tell you anything else that happened on that trip, what speech I gave. I have no idea. But for some reason, I remember that evening at how good the food was and getting back to New York and searching for the best Indonesian restaurant.
I
couldn't find
it.
Any. But I remember that night, and you were there with a bunch of other people. I can't remember who it was. But yeah, so The reason Matt's on the show today is because he has been a winner before, and you bet on winners. You bet on the jockey, and he's here again doing this. So I have to ask you this before I let you go, and you don't have to answer. But do you have a prediction, or does Bitwise have a prediction of where Bitcoin will go short, long-term price-wise?
Sure. I mean, look, we can't give investment advice. We can't give specific predictions. I'm extraordinarily bullish, Matt. I'll tell you this. I joined Bitwise in early 2018 because I was bullish on crypto and saw its long-term potential. It's all happening faster than I think. And it's I'm more bullish today than I was 3 years ago. This is still an extremely small asset, right? It's only a $400 billion asset. And yet you have people like the head of Morgan Stanley's wealth division or BlackRock's Larry Fink saying that this could potentially challenge the dollar's supremacy. That's a $100 trillion market. Now, I'm not saying it's going there. I'm just saying that you're still extremely early. And so there is significant room to run if the thesis turns out the way I and other people think it will.
Yeah, I can't agree with you more. You know, I like aggressive investments, but there's something about this where I truly believe in it. And you take the fact of what we've seen with coming out of the pandemic and the amount of stimulus being spent and the manipulation of currencies around the world. I mean, you couldn't have a better time for a product like this, honestly. You really couldn't. And then you have the next wave of software and innovation that's going to be happening in the roaring 2020s. And then you have the altcoins. I mean, maybe I'm just so I've convinced myself, but man, oh man, there's so many smart people, as you mentioned, Matt, that are getting into this. And I love the fact now you're seeing what I call old Wall Street get in on it. You know, 5 years ago, they said it was a scam. It's going to zero. Now they're all getting into it. Yeah. And that's the great thing about this is how often can the average person out there watching this get in before the big guys on Wall Street? And this you still can, which is great. So I know we could buy it, BITW, we could buy it through our brokers. What's the website to go to learn more about it as well?
Sure. Go to bitwiseinvestments.com. You can go to our resources sections. We have lots of information about there. We'd love to have you come and learn. We'd love to have you talk to your financial advisor. And remember to evaluate that premium and discount. Remember position sizing. Most investors are talking about a 0 to 5% part of their portfolio. Very volatile asset. Can go down. But go do your research. Bitwiseinvestments.com.
I love it, Matt. Thank you so much. I want to have you back on when you roll the next one. And the day you get that ETF out, put me in your calendar right now because you're coming on here. We got to get you on the day the ETF comes out. But again, thank you so much. Congratulations. Man, I couldn't be more proud of you. This is awesome.
Thanks for having me on. And you have a date for when that ETF launch. Right. I'll be here, buddy.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot. Once again, Matt Hogan, CIO of Bitwise Investments.
Again, welcome to Moneyline. This is Matt McCall. It is December 15th. It is a Tuesday. And I'll be honest with you. This is the second time I'm doing this show. The first time it was a beautiful 40 minutes, but by the time we got it to the editing room, there was no sound. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we make it through this one. But the good news is, last time I checked in, when we did this a couple hours ago, the S&P was up about 0.5%. Now we're up 44.5 points, 1.2%, few ticks away from the best closing price ever. So that's good news. And you see there's some stuff drawn on there. I'll get to that in a minute. But today's show, one of the first things we're going to do is we're going to talk to Matt Hogan. He's CIO of Bitwise Investments. If you don't know anything about Bitwise, you're about to learn about it. It's the hottest investment on Wall Street right now. Just launched last week. I mean, up big, big. I mean, over 4x from the low to the high in the last week. Huge moves. You're going to hear about this. Right from the horse's mouth, Matt Hogan, CIO. He is the man. He's a winner. He's the kind of guy you want to listen to. He's coming up here in a minute. Then we're going to talk about what to do during a market pullback. People asked. I put a Twitter poll out there. People want to know what to do. I'll tell you what to do. Last but not least, three more SPAC deals this week. We're going to go through some SPACs that I like, that I'm keeping an eye on. Barron's talked about this weekend. Goldman Sachs is talking about SPACs. It is here to stay. It's not a fad. It is a trend. And again, what does this chart mean to you for 2021? But first, to our special host, our special guest right now, I should say, CIO of Bitwise Investments, let's sit down with Matt Hogan. All right, folks, we spoke with Matt Hogan. He's a CIO of Bitwise Investments. And Let's take a look and see how that bad boy is doing here today. As we mentioned, the ticker is BITW, the Bitwise 10 Crypto Index Fund. It's up 30% to 77.5, but man, it was over 90 bucks before. But again, we talked about the NAV, which is the net asset value versus the trading value that's trading at right now. According to their website, the net asset value is around 18.5, where we have the price at 76. So it's trading at a huge premium right now. So keep that in mind. I'm not saying don't buy it. I'm not telling you to buy it. I think you need to ask your financial advisor if something like this fits into your risk tolerance, your goals, and something that really is going to help your portfolio. Keep in mind, there's also the alternative of Coinbase or Gemini or Binance or a bunch of others, you know, Square. You could buy Bitcoin and other coins on there now as well. It's different though, because it's not being housed in your typical brokerage firm. This could be bought just like a stock or an ETF in a typical brokerage firm. So there's pluses or minuses. I will tell you this, this is probably, you know, again, just the wild west still in cryptos. I believe in cryptos, Matt Hogan believes in cryptos, many of us believe in cryptos, and there's more people joining that team every day, and that's gonna lead to the entire sector doing much better. And just to give you an idea of what's going on with the crypto market right now, as we get closing, about 20 minutes till we close the markets, $19,514. And the great thing about cryptos is they're open 24/7. But we are about, 2%, a little over 2% from an all-time high. So we are creeping in. We got the S&P I talked about before, near an all-time high. But again, Bitwise, BITW, is the new fund that's out from my buddy Matt Hogan over at Bitwise Investments. So let's take a look here at this chart I talked about prior. This is the S&P 500. And when I initially did this show, I didn't have this drawn, but when I was looking at it, it popped up to me. It's like, holy smokes, how have I been missing this? And so I drew it in for you here. You know, as you see back there, that was a high in February, obviously the big pullback that we had, rallied back to a new high, and then we formed, this was actually another correction, about 11% pullback. We rallied back up, formed a double top, hit that same level, came back down, but formed a double bottom. We held the same level. Then we rallied through it. And then since that time, consolidating, moving higher. This is a classic, extremely bullish W formation. And a lot of times you'll see the W, they'll call it a double bottom, because you'll see this at a bottom, where, you know, a lot of times they call it a double dip. It bounces here, comes back and hits again. And then that bottom is a great buying opportunity, the second time it holds. When you see it at a top, where the pullback's a double bottom, and this is new all-time highs, even more bullish in my opinion, because it's showing that the trend is continuing. We could pull back another 2 or 3% and go be around here through a light volume holiday session between now and early January and next 2 weeks. That being said, we could be at new all-time highs tomorrow. I wouldn't be surprised. So I'm not trying to time that market. We're going to get to why I'm talking about this in just 1 second. But overall, these charts tell you where the market's going. Many of you know that I started kind of my career reading charts. I wrote a book called The Swing Trader's Bible with an old assistant of mine. We launched that book. We wrote it in 07. I think it got published in late 07, early 08. And what is written there is relevant then, is relevant today, and we were relevant in 100 years from now and 100 years in the past. Because the action that we see here, this price action, the volume that we see here, the patterns that I can see in my mind here, are all driven by human behavior, buying and selling. And human behavior has not changed for not only decades or centuries, but for thousands of years. The reason we're so enamored by fear-mongering is because in our brains, we still have this caveman mentality to fear things. Because if you didn't fear things as a caveman, you weren't going to live very long. It's different today. But we still have that, some people call it that lizard brain, that caveman brain back there that doesn't think logically. Which is why, you know, the news stations, and again, I was paid by Fox News. I had the pay subs to show you I was an on-air contributor. A paid contributor. Not somebody came on I'd say 99% of the people you see on TV, other than the host, are not paid. I was paid to be there. I know what goes on behind the scenes. I've seen it. I've lived it. I've dated some of the girls behind the scenes you see in the movies. I know what happens back there. It right now, it is the most fear-mongering craziness I've ever seen. I still have friends that are executive producers that produce these shows. I mean, I agree what they do, but I'm good friends with them. They're good people, but it's their job. My point is, our brains love to be attracted to this fear. So we see this and we think, oh man, we can't go any higher, we gotta pull back. What about things look pretty damn good for once? That's the way we need to think. All right, so let's get into this, because one of the questions that I had a four-part poll on Twitter. And I asked, what do people want me to talk about today? SPACs, how to handle a market pullback, stocks for the eventually opening of the market, of the economy. I call it the proximity trade. That was close third. And then a distant four was, basically I called it auditing, the four stock, auditing stocks from the past, which I'm going to do that. And auditing is probably the wrong word to use because everybody has the word audit. But looking back at stock ideas I've given you and see how they've done. Let's grade myself a little bit. So I will do a show like that coming up at some point in the near future. However, we are at a very bullish point right now. We need to be buying all dips, and nothing's going to change anytime soon right now unless something changes. But until then, we're still buying all dips. So I've gotten a lot of questions. I have done a lot of videos today. I did an interview with Matt Hogan. I did this for 40 minutes. Then I did an hour and a half long VIP webinar for my subscribers. And now I'm doing this again. So when my voice starts to crackle, that's why. The very good news, though, is I don't have COVID because I got a test yesterday, the PCR test that goes all the way up your nose. Man, I can still feel that damn thing up my nose. And it came back negative this morning. But the good thing is tomorrow at this time, 3:43, I'll be on a plane to a very warm place for the next 3 to 4 weeks at the house there on the water. So you'll be seeing on Friday where I'm coming live from. I'm still going to be doing the podcast, still going to be writing newsletters, still going to be managing money. I'm just going to be doing it in the background of the ocean and the beach. And before market opens, I'm going to get a quick surf in. And then after market closes, get another surf in and run on the beach and all that good stuff and drink a lot of cervezas. If anybody guesses where I am, maybe I'll give you a free month or two of the newsletter, maybe a free year of IO if you're not yet a member, if you guess where I'm going. But you have to guess in the comments down there. And the first one to get the country I'm going to wins. And if you know already, you can't do it if you're friends or family. Because I'll let you have it anyway. So, market corrections. Since 1920, the S&P 500 has recorded, on average, three pullbacks annually of at least 5%. You see here, we had the bear market. We had about 11%, another one about 5%. So we got about, this one's probably about 5% right there too. So maybe 4% this year, 3 or 4% this year. So it's about on average. Typically about every 16 months, again, going back 100 years in the S&P 500, about every 16 months, we have a correction, which is a pullback of at least 10%, 10 to 20% typically. Over 20% is what we call a bull market, and they typically happen once every 7 years. You would think it'd be more frequent than that, but the numbers will tell me that's what happens. And typically the corrections, that 10 to 20, and I will tell you, those are the worst. Because the bear markets like that, a lot of times you get caught with what you say, your pants down, and you're like, I can't get out of this. You hold on, hopefully. We held on there, and it was the best thing, and actually we're buying at the bottom. So that's okay. The corrections, the 10 to 20%, this one right here, when you think, we're having a double dip, we're gonna retest it. I don't know how many people said, we're having a double dip. We're coming back down, we're retesting the lows. You sell down there, now your pants are still down, but you're not owning any stock because you sold too damn early. That, to me, is extremely important to remember. We tend to have this urge to try and time the market. And because you see the charts, like, well, I could have sold there, bought back in, and boom, I'm loving life. I could have bought everything back in April. It's not that easy. So in hindsight, it is. Hindsight is 20/20, as they say. We need to remember that most of us watching this, myself included, we're long-term investors. You may have a little part of your portfolio that you swing trade or play around with. That's okay if you can handle it. But most of us are long-term investors. And as long-term investors, I just mentioned, we're going to need to deal with, on average, at least three pullbacks of 5 to 10%. One every 16 months. I think we'll see more now. We had two this year, probably at least one or two next year. Pullbacks of 10%. And then we have bear markets over 20%. We need to know how to react to that. So let me just give you an example, two examples. One, oops, I'm messing my charts here. Let's go here and let's zoom out a little bit and go back to where we were. As you can see, this is the fastest bear market in history right here. So what happened during that? Boom, 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 boom. Oh man, I can't sell here. I love everything. I love these stocks down here. I'm not selling stocks down here. They're right down 30 or 40%. These are time to be buying. Then I come up with my roadmap right there. And a roadmap was on. The roadmap was gut punch, consolidation with stimulus, rally, hit new all-time high. And it came perfectly. If you're a subscriber of mine, you saw the roadmap I put together at end of March. April 1st, we put out the crisis and opportunity portfolio. We're up 135% as an average of portfolio versus the market's up 43, crushing it. So that is what I did in that pullback. If I see that as a prolonged pullback, which I did not, I was right, but I didn't know that then I was going to be right. If I would have saw that as something as prolonged, where it was going to really ruin the economy and ruin the psyche of investors and change things forever, which I don't think this is. A lot of people may differ, but the market's back at a high. I had a feeling we were going to rebound from it pretty quickly, and I was right. If I see something more like the 08 and 09, where really it is truly fundamental change in the financial sector, that's more prolonged at that point. So what do I do if I see that coming? If I see a prolonged recession or bear market coming, number one is raise cash, preserve capital, raise cash. I don't care if the cash isn't making anything, you're preserving that capital and you're keeping that powder dry for when the opportunity is gonna be in front of us. Because that opportunity might be in a week, a month, 6 months, a year, we don't know. But every pullback we've bounced back from so far in the stock market, because we're at highs, obviously. So every time we've had that pullback, we've had an opportunity. I don't see that ending anytime soon. We want to keep that powder dry, that little nest egg on the side, so when things pull back and that stock that we love is down 70%, I'm telling you folks, it's happened to Amazon, it's happened to Netflix. Every big winner has taken these big, big hits. And when they do, if you have cash ready to go, that's when you make money. So what I did there, we bought. I don't see a prolonged pullback happening right now. I don't care what the fear mongers say. Somebody asked during a VIP webinar about Harry Dent. Harry Dent has been wrong for 30 years. I'm sorry, I should take that back. He was right once in 30 years. He's been calling for a historic pullback, like Dow at like 5,000. But there's no clock in here. But a broken clock is right twice a day. Harry Dent's right once every quarter century, if that. Guys like this make money selling fear. Him, Peter Schiff, you couldn't meet a bigger ass. I mean, I don't care if you're wrong. I don't know Harry Dent. He could be a great guy. I mean, I've met him, but I don't know him. Peter Schiff, I've been at tables with. He is truly an ass. And he steers people to make money. His results are horrific. The guy's one of the worst investors ever. But he still makes a ton of money because people give him money because they love to be fed with this fear. It's crazy to me. Why can't we be fed with optimism? Shit's good. Like, what am I going to get that through our thick heads? Things are good. We don't have to worry about what's going to happen next. Live in the moment. Enjoy this. We are trading ticks below an all-time high in the S&P 500. Enjoy it. All right. So to answer your questions, when we have pullbacks like this, I analyze it as it happens. If I see something prolonged, we raise cash. Then we look for some investments that will do well during a pullback. 2008, S&P 500 was down 38.5%. Walmart was up. You're always going to find some stocks. Still going to sit on a nice portion of cash, but we can find some stocks, some investments that will do well. If we take a look at the S&P 500 here, and we go back to the beginning of this bull market, I'm not even back far enough here yet. Let me go back a little bit further. Right here, 08, 09, when it bottomed in March of 09. You know, there wasn't really any significant pullbacks until, where are we at here? 2018, December 2018, when we had nearly a bear market. It was down about 19.5%. We didn't have any significant pullbacks until that time. Do you know how many very rich, very smart individuals along the way said, I'm going to take some off the table and wait for a pullback. I'm going to take some off the table, wait for a pullback. I'm going to take some off the table, wait for a pullback. Meanwhile, the market keep going higher, higher, and higher. So they're taking money off the table here. Next thing you know, you're up here. What do you do then? The stock you love down here is now three times higher. Sure, there's not always an opportunity around the corner every day, but my point is, look at this. People are just complaining, bitching, moaning. We can't keep going up. We can't keep going up. It kind of reminds me of that old Price is Right thing where the guy's yodeling and he goes up. But when he falls off, you lose your money because you can't go over. It kind of reminds me of that. But in this situation, man, oh man, I remember this. I lived it. And there were people telling me to sell throughout the entire damn thing. So back to today, this is as bullish as it gets, folks. I'm even more bullish after finding this pattern kind of coming to me. Maybe I haven't been looking at charts enough, but boy, it popped up into my eyes. So enough of that. Let's get into SPACs. So a few things here on SPACs before we get into it. As I mentioned, three deals today. But what I like is we're seeing the big money come into it. We're seeing the big publications. Goldman Sachs strategist says that he thinks the SPACs could spur $300 billion in M&A activity, mergers and acquisitions. So far this year, the SPACs have raised about $70 billion, and that is by far the biggest so far. And he's talking about 300. That's huge. JP Morgan's Highbridge Capital sinking $1 billion or more to bet on SPACs. We have billionaires such as Richard Branson. We know he's in there. He took his Virgin Galactic, SPCE, private that way. We have Bill Ackman, the billionaire jackass. He's not a jackass out there. He may be a jackass, but I own his SPAC, so I will give him that. I'll try to make money off him. I don't have to like him. I'll try to make money off him. So there's big names. And what's pretty cool is if you all don't read Barron's, I think it's a great weekend read. It doesn't cost that much to get it online. But they're having more and more specials on SPACs, and they had one feature this weekend, and they mentioned a couple SPACs, but one of them they talked about was Red Bull Acquisition Corp, which you've heard me talk about in the past. One of the men affiliated with that is Billy Beane, the former GM, general manager of the Oakland A's of Major League Baseball. He's played by Brad Pitt in Moneyball, in the movie Moneyball. So they mentioned that one, but they mentioned a couple others. They mentioned Omnichannel Acquisition Corp, OCA, which is looking at like a retail type play. Again, they go public and raise money at $10 a share. It's at $10.38, so it's up 3.8%. And again, none of these have deals yet. These are just that they're moving. They listed these ETFs based on what's called the jockey. You know, I use this analogy a lot. When you go to play the ponies, you go bet on the horses, the Kentucky Derby. You can bet on the horse, but you got to have the jockey too. And I remember probably junior year, senior year, sophomore year even, 15, 16, 17 years old, 18 years old. I wasn't a big fan of going to school because I felt like whatever they were teaching me was just a bunch of BS, and I was smarter than the teachers anyway. I felt that way. I wasn't, but I felt that way. You know, if I really tried, and yeah, I think I had straight A's until about eighth grade when I discovered alcohol. But, you know, straight A's. And then suddenly I was, you know, playing varsity football at ninth grade, one of the youngest guys on the varsity team. And you start hanging out with old guys, and what do? Then weekends, they drink beer and go out and do stupid stuff. So suddenly I thought it was no fun to go to school. So I would every once in a while get a group together, get a couple six packs, drive to Philly Park and watch the ponies. And you learn from the old timers down there, it's about the jockey. It's not necessarily about the horse. You bet on the jockey. Look how this jockey wins at least once a day. You know, he rides his horse great. When it comes to these SPACs, it's very similar. You're betting on the management team, what they have done in the past, who they know. You're betting on jockeys before the deal's announced. Because before the deal's announced, this is just a blank check company. It's just a company sitting on whether it's $100, $200, $300 million, $1 billion. They're sitting on money. It's a blank check. You need to know who you're betting on if you buy beforehand. That's the reason I bought the Ackman one. Richard Branson one. Okay, I'm betting on Richard Branson and his team. So Barron's went through and listed a couple they liked. This is one of them. This is one that they liked. Another one was Ajax. AJAX. Let's take a look at this. Look at this one. 1163, so it's already up 16% from that price, which is pretty amazing. What else did they mention here? Two that I mentioned last week, believe it or not, because they have a good jockey. I talked about this last week. DGNR, Dragoneer Growth, up 30% from its level. DGNS, which is Growth Opportunities 2, up 11% from their level. What else did they mention? AGC, Ultimator, 26%. And then the last one, this is pretty funny. It's called Leap, and it is Ribbit is the name of the company. Leap, Ribbit, Frog, you get it? Up 30%. So you're seeing here how now you're starting to see people do some research and investing in the jockeys. And I love that because I love doing research. I know a lot of these guys. So I'm just going to keep doing more and more research on this because we're having fun. We're making money. And I got to tell you, we're not stopping anytime soon, folks. I'm loving this stuff. I love being different. I love getting there first. And I love helping you all make money and myself make money. So a couple other things. Three deals today. In the SPAC space, one was BTWN, and this is Bridgetown Holdings, up about 20% today at 1326 right now. This is a Peter Thiel-backed deal, and they're looking at e-commerce play in Indonesia, believe it or not. Yes, Indonesia. I love Indonesia, and does anybody know how many people live in Indonesia? Anybody know? I do know. Because I looked it up earlier. So I do know. And does anybody know where they rank in population? Just so you know, it's about 7.8 billion people in the entire world. So I think it goes China, India, United States, and guess who number four is? Indonesia. You would never think of that. I remember learning that like 10 years ago, and I still couldn't believe it was true. You know, there's a couple other, you know what number five is? Pakistan, unbelievable. So this is a play on Indonesia e-commerce, something I want to look a little bit more into. I don't know the company, I'll be honest, but I need to look into a little more. The second deal that I saw go across today was EXPC. This is, they called themselves an urban mobility / flying car. You see, that's why it's opened up around 1160, now it's down to 1035, only up 12 cents today, so it's only about 3% from its 10 cent range where it IPO'd. This is merging with a company called Blade. Blade to me, again, I need to delve into it further, but just at first blush, Blade to me is still just a helicopter company, getting people out to the Hamptons from New York City. Trust me, it's awesome, but I don't see that as exciting as the future of transportation. Maybe it is, but I'll tell you this. I sat in a few of these flying cars. Helicopters scare me. It's just that one big thing going around. If something happens to that, you're screwed. The thing is, with the flying cars, the future, the AAVs, UAVs, they call them, there's multiple propellers. So one goes out, you're still fine. It's a big, big difference. So I like the future versus this. I'm not a big fan of it, but again, I'm always keeping my eyes open to everything, and you never know. Third one was Thunder Bridge. Acquisition. Thunder Bridge Acquisitions merging with INDIE Semiconductor. They make chips and sensors for autos, which I love because the amount of chips and sensors going in autos is amazing. Also chips and sensors for LiDAR. We all know about LiDAR, right? How much LiDAR has been a game changer, will be a game changer. And this one is up about 2% today, 1063. Just to give you an idea what's moving there in the SPAC world. Speaking of SPAC world, just two others that are going public. I talked about this one before, but a lot of people have been asking about the cannabis. This is Silver Spike Acquisition. They announced that they're going to be merging with Weed Maps. And you can see it was a huge run up, but since came back down, hit 1550. We're down to 12 and change as of today's close. One to keep an eye on, but again, I'm just not sold on that one. There's another one I haven't shared with you yet, so here's a new one. This is SAMA. Schultz, Special Purpose Acquisition Corp, SAMA. They are merging with a company by the name of Clever Leaves. They're a leader in low-cost cannabis extraction. And you can see this really moved up. It was actually just above 10, right up to 14.5. It's around 13 now, down 1.8% today. What makes this one interesting is when it comes to cannabis, extraction is extremely important because people are either using it through oils, through food, tinctures, through the vapes, and that has to be extracted from the plant itself. So extraction to me is still a really great business model. In the first half of this year, they signed a supply deal with Canopy Growth Corp, which is still the largest cannabis company in the world for the Latin American market. So pretty interesting there. Just two more I wanted you to keep an eye on. But overall, folks, I got to tell you, things look good. I mean, the SPAC world looks good. Everything looks good. I mean, the market, let's see where we close today. Let's pull up S&P 500 here. Closing 42.5 points, a little bit delayed here. So we're going to close around 1.2%, a couple ticks from an all-time high. There is one stock that several people kept asking about. I'm trying to think of what it was on Twitter. Let me pull it up here. I think it's VERU. I mentioned this stock in a past Moneyline show, and people bought it. I know you all buy stuff I tell you, and just so you know, these aren't personal recommendations to go out and buy these or sell these. They're just my views, and you do your due diligence with it and do what you want. You know, sometimes I try to give disclosures, but I forget sometimes. Sometimes I may own these stocks, might have them in our newsletters here at Investor Place. We might even have them for some clients at Penn Financial Group. That's where I manage people's money based on my philosophy and views on the market. So we could have all that. So keep that in mind. Verio, though, a lot of people have said they've gotten it. If you did, you probably got around $2, $2 or $3. Take them off the table. Take some off the table. You know, this is a healthcare company, drug company. When it bounces that much, hey, it could be much more. But boy, take some off the table. Play with house money. Maybe take half. Then you're playing. You doubled your money and playing with house money. So that's something to keep an eye on. And last but not least, I have some very exciting news for you. You know, you see that good-looking guy over there, Louis Navellier. You thought I was going to say me, didn't you? Louis Navellier, there's me right there, and the most beautiful of all, Lauren Savant, who may be making a stop by at my house in this exotic place we're going to in a couple weeks. Her and her boyfriend's a pretty famous actor. We were not, so you might see some pictures of us that we'll post. So we are hosting an event this Thursday. And many of you know about our Early Warning Summit 2020. This is 2021. Go to Early Warning 2021. Put your name, phone number down there. We'll let you know when we go live. But Louis and I, Power Portfolio 2020, we launched it on December 10th of 2019. We close it out on November 23rd. It's a little less than a year, at a gain of about 36%. Our benchmark we set that day, we launched it, was the Dow. We wanted to beat the Dow by at least 3x. We beat it by 6x. The Dow was up about 6%. We're about 36%. That's a hell of a return in this type of environment. Remember what 2020 did to us? We held. And you ask, why do I hold through situations like this? We held because we believed in the companies. We knew that this was going to pass us. Could we have sold at the lows on some of these? Sure. And let me just give you an idea of what would have happened. Because we sold the stocks, I can share them with you now. One of the ones, and Louis and I both came up with these, but this is one Louis brought to the table. U.S. Concrete. We were down probably, 75, 80%. Look where it came back up to. I think we ended up down very slightly, if not flat. Huge rally from there. Another one, I'm not going to keep blaming Louis, but these are not my type of stocks. But they both came back. FTAI, look at this. From 22 down to $4. Most people would have sold, we didn't. Look where it is now, back even higher, at an all-time high. Sometimes it pays to just take that beating and keep going. Not every time. I don't just buy and ignore. There's reasons we do this. So when it comes to Early Warning Summit 2021, we're launching 9 brand new stocks, not in my portfolios, not in my own personal portfolio, not in my Penn Financial Group client portfolios, not in any of Louis's portfolios. 9 brand new stocks, I guarantee you've never heard of most of them, will be released Thursday evening. So tune in, watch the video, it's fun. Louis might fall asleep once or twice while I'm talking. I really bore him from time to time. But if not, you get to see the beautiful Lauren. Please join in. Early Warning 2021, sign up now. We'd love to see you Thursday night. But again, if you comment down below, the first one to guess what country I'll be in tomorrow, you'll win something. I'll give you something, how's that? All right, thank you so much. Have a wonderful week. It's only 10 days of Christmas. Don't be naughty, be nice. I'm Matt McCall, and that was your Moneyline.
Moneyline with Matt McCall. To find more information, head over to McCallMoneyWire.com. That's McCallMoneyWire.com.